ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Health.
About 1 in 10 people around the world who do not have celiac disease or a wheat allergy still report some kind of sensitivity to wheat and gluten. It's something that, I don't know, for a generation ago, just didn't seem to be around, but now is everywhere. Does it sound familiar to you? Are you someone who is sensitive to gluten but doesn't have a diagnosed allergy? So what's going on? I wonder whether you ever try to solve the problem by getting on a gluten-free diet. Well, international researchers have been looking at results from 25 studies spanning 16 countries and nearly 50,000 people. They found about 10, or a bit more than 10% of people report symptoms such as bloating, abdominal pain and fatigue after eating gluten. Can research and science help us understand this situation better? Because at first glance, it does seem to be a puzzle. What is going on? Dr. Francesca Manza is a medical doctor and also a PhD candidate at the University of Ferrara in Italy. She's also the joint author of this study and joins us live from the UK. Dr. Manza, good evening to you and welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for inviting me here today.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I remarked for a generation or so ago, this thing didn't seem to be around. Now it seems to be widespread. What is non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and how is it different from, say, what celiacs might suffer from?
So the definition of non-celiac gluten or wheat sensitivity is when people are feeling unwell after they eat food that contain gluten or wheat. Mm. And these foods are actually pretty common. Wheat is containing things such as bread, pasta, cereals, pizza. And these people don't have, as you said before, celiac disease or wheat allergy. And the difference is that in celiac disease, the immune system is attacking the lining of the small bowel when gluten is eaten, and so it's considered an autoimmune disorder. We can also have some blood tests that are positive with some antibodies that are helping clinicians to diagnose this condition. And also when we take a small sample of the intestinal lining, we can really see a damage there. In non-celiac gluten sensitivity, we don't have any of those changes. There's no intestinal damage, right. No allergy, no antibody, and people are still suffering and reporting symptoms such as bloating, stomach pain, tiredness after eating gluten.
But we don't really know why in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty complex clinical entity, and there might be several factors actually related to that. It might be because of an altered communication between the gut and the brain. It might be related to other components of the wheat kernel, such as some not very well digested fibers that might cause bloating or excessive gas, or it might also be because of the social and biosocial aspect of how gluten is perceived.
Yes, I would have thought Italians would have been onto this generationally ages ago because, well, they're great consumers of wheat products, aren't they, through pasta and, as you say, pasta and pizza, breads and so on.
Absolutely.
What are the main, so what did your, tell me about your study and what did it mainly find?
So the strength of this study is that we really, really collected a big number of people. So as you said before, 25 studies from 16 countries, and we included around 50,000 of participants. And overall, 1 in 10 people said they actually reported, it's called self-reported symptoms, when they were eating gluten. So they were pretty sure and they could blame gluten or wheat because of their symptoms, even though they knew they didn't have celiac disease or wheat allergy. And quite interestingly, this number varied quite a lot. In some countries, it was reported to be prevalent in less than 1% of the population. In other, it was present in more than a third of people. And we found out that this might be related to the income of the country, for example. So higher income, higher prevalence. We also found out that women and people with irritable bowel syndrome, anxiety or depression were more likely to report gluten or wheat sensitivity.
Because this is the thing that sparked my interest. 10% of people reporting these symptoms, these are not people who have celiac disease. I mean, that's remarkably high, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just to give you a comparison, celiac disease is present in around 1.5% of the population. Mm. And yeah, of course, compared to gluten sensitivity, that's a massive gap.
Mm. Yes, Liz from Ballarat, who's texted in the program, says, being the proverbial doubting Thomas, dare I suggest that some disorders become fashionable? It's just what some do to join the current trend. I mean, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? I mean, if people say they're suffering from these things, then I presume they're not making it up. What do you think about that, Francesca?
Yeah. Absolutely, you're definitely right. So I think the goal here is to make people feel better. But I also think, and research is showing, that we can't deny there's a very strong influence of how diet and the gluten-free diet in this case is perceived. Mm. So I believe there's a strong social side to this. So gluten-free diet has become more popular. Hollywood stars or sports people are claiming it's improving their performance. It's helping with weight loss or general health. And I think in a way this is influencing people. But of course, we can't really say it's just that. We also know there are other evidences showing that there might be something related to wheat component and other things as this connection I was talking before about between the gut and the brain.
Clive from North Beach has texted in saying, my stomach handles toasted light rye bread, made mostly of wheat, and some toasted white breads very well. But if I dare eat these breads untoasted, bloating and pain happens almost immediately and lasts for hours. The difference is amazing. I totally avoid wholemeal and multigrain breads. And Sia and Clive, I presume, is not celiac. So, yeah, the truth is, we don't know why Clive for Clive, do we, Francesca, or not?
Sorry, could you repeat? I think the connection was slightly off.
What he was saying was that he finds if he toasts bread, then he can eat them and tolerate them very well. But if he doesn't toast them, then he gets bloating and pain almost immediately. Is there any connection between toasted breads and untoasted breads as to what causes more gluten intolerance?
To be fair, to my knowledge, this has not been proven, but my suggestion is that if he's really finding that toasted and untoasted bread is actually making a difference, just stick with whatever is making him feel better. It's really hard sometimes to point out what is the component of food, what is the food itself that is causing symptom. So I have no question for this, unfortunately. No answer.
Exactly. I'm speaking with Dr. Francesca Manza. Dr. Manza is a medical doctor and also a PhD candidate at the University of Ferrara and was a joint author of a study which is very interesting about gluten intolerance. It found a remarkably high number of people report gluten intolerance, even though no one seems to know why, because they're not celiacs. Andrew says, is it called a hypochondriacal disease? Oh, well, that's controversial, Andrew. But you're suggesting, actually, Francesca, though, that there may be, actually, that's your belief, that there may be some social component here of people reporting symptoms because it's a thing. It's a thing which you say celebrities and others have reported, so people are joining the bandwagon.
Yeah, but I would also say that we can't really blame everything on the social aspect to the diet. We also know that this connection between the gut and the brain might be altered. And I mentioned briefly that there's this overlap between people who have irritable bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, we're pretty sure that in irritable bowel syndrome, this connection is not really working properly. So there's nerve bundle that's connecting the gut and the brain. And I think many of you have experienced that when you are in a stressful situation, you have an exam, you have an important talk, your gut suddenly is not working anymore, you have massive cramps, you need to run to the loo. And this is like a sign that there's a connection there. And it's also true the other way around. So when the gut's not really functioning properly, the brain, the mental state can be affected. Mm. And this is really interesting, and we believe in a way, gluten sensitivity might also be part of this group of not really functional, but disordered of the gut-brain axis in a sense.
That's interesting. Pete in WA's got another theory. He says, I heard that old wheat strains had 3 to 6 genomes, but new wheat strains have over 20. Is that a possible cause? In other words, could it be modern wheat that causes the problem?
There's a theory there, and there have been studies pointing out that other components such as wheat glyphosate or it's called ATI, which are amylase trypsin inhibitors, mm-hmm. Might also cause a reaction in humans because these are molecules that are helping brains to survive. They're basically a system within the gray, the wheat kernel that is helping the plant to survive, and it's a protection towards insect parasites. And in vitro, this is not a study, this has not been studied in humans. They have shown that there might be an effect, but at the same time, this is really hard to prove when we're considering a bigger environment, such as the human body.
Yeah.
So it's controversial again.
Francesca Manza. Dr. Francesca Munns has been my guest. It's very fascinating. Thank you, Francesca. Very interesting study.
You're really welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.